Direct your attention back to the passage of Scripture that Adam read, led us in reading a moment ago. I remind you that there seemed to always be, except when he got apart by himself and went into the mountains and other places to pray, there always seemed to be a crowd around Jesus. And if you stop and think about it, you can understand why. I mean, here was one that healed the sick. Here was one that made the blind to see. Here was one that made the lame to walk. Here was one that even raised the dead back to life. And as people heard about what he did, they just wanted to be around him. In the next chapter of this book that we read from the book of Luke, Luke chapter 9, he's going to take some bread and fish. He's going to feed a crowd of 5,000 men plus all the women and children. And so wherever Jesus went, when people heard that he was there, there was always a crowd that gathered around him. And it was no different from on this day that we read about. A man named Jairus had come to Jesus. He was a ruler of the synagogue, an important man in a city, an honored man. And he came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, I got a little girl at home. She's 12 years old. She's sick. I'm afraid she's going to die. The doctors say there's nothing else that they can do for her. I wonder if you would come to my home and heal my daughter." And Jesus agreed to go. And again, as he was going, the crowd saw him and they gathered around him and they were pushing and shoving. They just all wanted to get as close to him as they could. And suddenly Jesus stopped and he asked what seems like a strange question in the setting. He said, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" Again, hundreds of people around him, perhaps scores of people had broken through the crowd and reached out and touched his arm or touched the garment that he was wearing. And his disciples, and Peter was the spokesman again, you know, Peter was the one that was always answering the questions and making the announcements and many times talking before he thought and stuck his foot in his mouth on many occasions. And he said on this occasion, "Lord, what do you mean who touched you? You see all the people that are around you. You see the hundreds, maybe even thousands of people that are walking this road with us. And there have been scores of people that have brushed against you. There have been scores of people who have reached their hand out to touch you on the arm or on the leg and to touch some piece of your clothing. Well, what kind of question are you asking? What do you mean? Who touched me?" And Jesus said, "No, somebody did more than just want to touch me to say they touched me. Somebody did more than just want to feel my garment and the piece of clothing that I have on. Somebody did more than just want to touch my hand or touch my foot. Somebody did more than just to want to be in the crowd and break through that crowd and get a glimpse of me. Somebody really touched me because virtue has gone out of me. Something has happened." Of course, Jesus knew what had happened. He already knew about the lady that had touched him. And again, he was on the way to Jairus' house. He was going to eventually raise that little girl back from the dead because she died as they were going. But as he was making his way to that house, he stopped and says, "Somebody really reached out and touched me because virtue has gone out of me." And there was a little lady there. The Bible tells us about her. And she ended up at her touch. Not Jesus touching her, but her touching him in faith, being healed, being made whole, being saved. I want to talk to you about that lady this morning. I want to tell you four things about her. Number one, she was unclean. She was unclean. In the book of Leviticus chapter 15 verse 19, the Bible says this, "And if a woman have an issue and her issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days, and whosoever toucheth her shall be unclean until the evening." If a woman had an issue of blood, she was unclean. And she was not to be touched, because whoever touched her would be unclean. If she sat in a chair and somebody else sat on that chair after her, that person was unclean. If she laid on a bed and somebody laid on that bed after her, that person was unclean. And she was to be separated as long as that flow of blood lasted. In most cases, it was 7 days. But this lady had had this flow of blood, the Bible says, for 12 years. And the Bible had made provision for things like that because it says, as long as the flow of blood lasted, as long as it persisted, that woman was to be set aside. She was deemed unclean. She could have no contact with any other human being because if she did, that other human being would also be unclean. So I just want you to think about that for a minute. I want you to let it sink down into your hearts and your minds this morning. I don't know if she had a family or not, but let's say she did. Let's say she had a husband and children. For 12 years, she could not cradle her children because that would make them unclean. For 12 years, she and her husband could not hold hands, embrace, because that would make him unclean. For 12 years, she could never feel the pat on the back or a hug from another human being, because she was unclean. And again, she was separated from society. Again, if she sat on something and somebody else sat on it, they were unclean. If she touched something and they picked it up after her, they were unclean. Can you imagine what it would be like to go 12 years to be deemed unclean for that period of time and to not have any human contact at all without making that other person unclean? Couldn't sit on the same chair with somebody. Couldn't pat her little child on the head. Couldn't touch anybody without making them come to the same position she was, unclean. And I'm so glad this morning that we have a God that unclean people can come to and touch and be touched. You remember the leper that came to Jesus? He said, "Master, if you will, you can make me clean." And lepers were just like this lady. They were unclean and nobody could touch them. They had to put a rag on their upper lip and walk down the street and say, "Unclean, unclean." And what they were saying is, "Stay away from me. You can't come near me. You can't touch me because you'll become unclean like me." And that leper came to Jesus and said, "Master, if you wilt, you can make me clean." And the Bible says, different from everybody else, different from every other human being, Jesus reached out his hand and touched that leper. And he says, "I wilt, be thou clean." I thank God that when nobody else is willing to touch us because we're unclean, he is. I thank God when nobody else would let this lady touch them, Jesus let her. She couldn't touch her child. She couldn't touch her husband. She couldn't sit on the same chair. She couldn't sleep in the same bed. But she could break through that crowd and touch a Savior. That's what Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, when it says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Wendell sings the song. I hadn't sung it for a while. You need to sing it next time you come, Brother Wendell. It's one of my favorites. It goes like this: "I don't know what kind of sinner you are. And I don't. I don't know the depths of your sin. I don't know the laws that you've broken before God. I don't know the times you've turned your back on God and walked away from God. I don't know what kind of sinner you are this morning. But I know what kind of Savior that we have. He's a Savior that says to all sinners, come unto me, all ye that weak and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, and I'll heal you of your uncleanness. I'll fix you up. I'll make you clean. I'll justify you. I'll save you. This lady represents all of us because the Bible says we're all unclean. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. She came to the right person. She came to the only person that could help her. We sing a song sometimes. Have you failed in your plan of your storm-tossed life? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Are you weary and worn from its toil and strife? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. He will keep to the end. He's your dearest friend. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. She was unclean. Number two, this lady came to Jesus as a last resort. She came to Jesus after spending all that she had on doctors. I don't know how much money she had when she started. Maybe she was a woman of wealth. I don't know. All the Bible says is that she had spent all her living upon physicians. Neither could be healed of any. When she had money, she said, well, I'll just go to the doctor and I'll hire the doctor and the doctor will fix me. He'll fix this condition and make me clean. Or she said, I'll go get some medicine and the medicine will fix me up and make me clean. And the Bible says that she tried everything that the medical community knew at that point in time. She spent everything she had on doctors. And she spent everything she had on medicine. She spent everything. If they had hospitals back then, she went to the hospital. If they had operations back then, she had operations. And the Bible says she spent all that she had on physicians and none of them could help her. None of them could staunch that flow of blood. None of them could remove that condition from her body that made her unclean according to the law. And one day she heard, hey, Jesus is coming to town. I've heard about him. I've heard that he could heal the sick. I've heard that he makes lepers clean. I've even heard that he raises people from the dead. Maybe he can help me. Nobody else has been able to. No doctors, no medicine. Isn't it funny how we usually don't turn to God until it's the last resort? We try everything else. We try everything else that we think can make our life complete, that can give us that satisfaction that we look for. Every single person here, you were created to fellowship with God. You were created to be part of His family. And apart from God, there will always be something missing in your life. Listen to me this morning. Apart from God, there will always be a part of you that will be incomplete, that will never be satisfied, that will have a longing for something. You may not even know what it is this morning, but I'm going to tell you, there's a piece of you that longs and desires to have a relationship with God. And you can try to fill it up with things of the world. You can try to fill it up with the pleasures of the world. And you can try to fill it up with the wealth of the world. And you can try to fill it up with the camaraderie of the world. And I will tell you this morning, as your own life has proven so far, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Go ahead, put what the world has to offer into that spot and we'll still be empty. You'll still be unsatisfied. The only thing that will fill that spot, that longing, that desire, is a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's all it is. Amen. And this lady, after trying everything else, says, I'm going to go to Jesus and see if He can help me. I want to tell you this morning, I don't know where you are. If you're here and you're hanging on to the last knot in the rope, if you are at the end of a journey that has brought no satisfaction, no peace, and you're at that point where you're at your last resort, I want to tell you, I got good news for you. I can tell you what you're looking for. I can show you what will help. I can introduce you to the one that will give you peace and joy and satisfaction like you've never known. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Number three, it wasn't easy for her to come. You see, the crowd that gathered around Jesus that day did not want to give up their place close to him. Can you imagine what it would be like to have blood flowing out of your body for 12 years? Can you imagine how weak she must have been? Can you imagine how hard it would have been for her to push her way through that crowd? Wonder how many times she was knocked down. Wonder how many times she was shoved aside. Wonder how many times she had to pull herself up and get on her knees and then lift herself to her feet. Wonder how many people just brushed her away and said, "No, this is my spot. You can't have it." She had to work to come to Jesus. I want to tell you something this morning. And let me be honest with you, brutally frank with you. The devil does not want you coming to God. He'd just soon you stay right where you are. He does not want, in fact, he's upset with you that you came this morning. He's upset with me for preaching like this, and all I can say to the devil, I don't care. You need to hear the truth. And the truth is the devil will do everything that it may not be proper etiquette, but sure is good preaching, isn't it? The devil will do everything that he can to keep you away from God. He's whispering in your ear right now, hey, don't listen to that old windbag of a preacher. You don't need to come to God. Everything's going good in your life this morning. You don't need God. And the devil is a liar. He's the father of all lies. And when he tells you that, he is lying to you. What you need more than anything else this morning is God and a relationship with him and a relationship with his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. And there will be all sorts of things that will get in your way in just a few moments when I give the invitation and invite those that don't know Jesus to come and to meet him. I mean, the devil will tell you all sorts of lies and do everything he can to get you to walk out those doors this morning the same way as when you came in, lost and on your way to hell. Don't let him win. You listen to that still small voice that speaks to you that says, you're a sinner. You need a Savior. You need a Savior. Let me say quickly a word to Christians. You know, we need to touch God. Too many of us, we never break through the crowd. We never get a hold of God. God wants to see how much we want him. Sometimes we pray and he doesn't answer right away. He wants to see how bad we want it. Are we willing to fight? Are we willing to labor? Are we willing to persist in prayer? I think about that lady over in Luke, the widow that went to the judge and says, you need to help me. This person's done me wrong. And the judge said, get away from me. I have no time for you. And she kept coming back and coming back and coming back and coming back. And finally the judge says, I'm not going to do it because it's right. I'm going to do it just to get her off my back. And Jesus told that parable and he says, I want you to pray like that. And sometimes he wants us to labor in our prayers. You say, doesn't he want to answer? Sure, he wants to answer. But he wants to see how much we want it before he'll give it to us. And sometimes it seems like there's a crowd all around him. And we just have to fight our way through that crowd. I would encourage us as Christians this morning, we need to touch him. We need to touch him. And then number four, quickly. This lady told people what happened. The historian, and I won't try to pronounce his name, but he wrote history at Bible times. He wrote about this lady. Says her name was Veronica. I don't know if it was or not. But it says, here's what she did when she went home. She erected two brass statues. One was of a man. The other one was of a lady down on her knees with her arms outstretched, touching the hem of the man's cloak. And according to the historian, people would come into that town and they'd see these statues in their house and they'd go up to her and they'd say, "What's this? What do these statues represent?" And she would say, "Let me tell you. You see that lady on her knees? That was me. I was unclean for 12 years with no hope of ever getting any better. See the man? That's Jesus. And one day, he was coming through town, and I broke through the crowd, and I reached out with just the tip of my finger, and I touched the very bottom of his coat, and I was healed. I was healed." The story goes that hundreds of years after she died, those statues remained on the property, and people would come, and they'd ask the same question. What are those two statues? What do they mean? And the people in the town told her story. I want to tell you this morning, I'm a sinner that met the Savior. I was unclean, headed for hell with no hope. There was nothing I could do to make myself clean. Couldn't turn over a new leaf. I couldn't join a church. I couldn't get baptized. I couldn't take communion. None of that would make me clean. But one day, when I was 16 years old, I knelt beside my pastor in his study, and he led me to Jesus Christ, and I became a new creature. Old things were passed away. All things became new. And this morning, we sent two of our friends to heaven this past week. This morning, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And I believe that he can do the same thing for every person here. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, would you do it today? The Bible says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." You're a sinner. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the simple message of the gospel. Thank you for the love that sent your Son.